Good morning. Today we're going to begin the sugya of Shomer Sachar, a person who is actually paid to watch an item. We're going to try to change the format of the shiur slightly. We're going to ask that people hold off on the questions until the end. We'll end the shiur a bit earlier, and we'll have a Q&A session afterwards. So if there's a question, if there's something that's unclear, feel free to pipe in. But if it's just another example, another case, something which will not add to the understanding of the shiur, we'll wait for the actual practical questions until after the shiur. Now, a shomer sachar, until now we've been discussing a shomer chinam, someone who is a volunteer. He is watching the item. He is not receiving any compensation. As we discussed, you get what you pay for. Because he is a volunteer, he's doing a favor, he has very minimal responsibilities. He is only, if anything happens to the item, if he was negligent, if he was pesheya, he leaves the door wide open, he's going to be responsible, he'll have to pay. But short of a negligence, short of a pshia, if anything happens, he is not liable. A shomer sachar, in contrast, is getting paid to do his work. He's receiving some form of compensation for watching the item. Because he is being paid, he has a much greater level of responsibility. And if the item is stolen or lost, even though there was no negligence, he locked the door, and again, we'll clarify this a little bit later, but even the absence of negligence, if it's gneva va'aveda, a shomer sachar is responsible for. Nevertheless, if there's an oinus, if there's an accident, something that was beyond his control, there even a shomer sachar would be liable. Now, as far as practical halacha l'maisa, cases of shomer sachar are much more common than a shomer chinam. Because although when people think shomer sachar, what comes to mind is a security guard, someone who you hire to watch your business or to watch your house, to become a shomer sachar, you really need much less. For example, any uman, if you bring a suit to the cleaners, you have an item, it needs to be repaired, you bring it in to someone to be fixed. I mean, today we don't fix things, we usually just throw them out. But if there is something, you bring a car to a mechanic. So in that case, he is an uman. He is receiving a benefit from the fact that he is holding on to the item, the fact that he is watching the item. And in such a case, where, number one, he is the fact that you hired him to do the job, he's benefiting from the fact that you've hired him. And number two, he now has leverage, he has collateral to make sure that you pay him. Because since he will not release the car until he gets paid, he will not release the suit until you actually pay for it. So he has collateral, he has a benefit from having the item. So in that case, he will generally be a shomer sachar. Again, exactly what the reason is in the Gedarim we'll discuss when we learn through Simon Shin Vav. But any time you have a craftsman, anyone who you give an item in to repair, to work on, he will have a din of a shomer sachar. In addition, when there's an investment, there's an iska. You give someone, you hire someone to, or you make an investment with someone. He takes the money, he's managing the money, he is running a business for both of your, on behalf of both of you. So in that case, he is a shomer. He is the one who's active in the business. He's the one that's responsible to make sure that everything is taken care of. And he is receiving compensation. He's getting paid for his work. And therefore, in general, he will have a din of his shomer sachar. Now, a heter iska is a separate issue. Heter iska is, in theory, he is managing the money, but on the other hand, he only gets a dollar, he only gets a davar mu'at. That's a discussion for another time. But in a typical case where you're hiring someone, you're paying him to manage the investment, so there he would have a din of a shomer sachar. Now, in Mishares, there's a discussion among the achrayim. If you have an executive assistant, and at some point he's watching some items for you. So on one hand, he has a job. He's getting paid for his work. On the other hand, his job description does not include, he's not a shomer. That's not what he's there to do. He's there to do other tasks. So here there is a machlokes in the achrayim. The Aruch HaShulchan says it really depends what the setup is. If his job is to do whatever you tell him to do, he's your assistant, you tell him to go make a coffee for you, that's his job. You tell him to go pick up something from the store, he has whatever. He's there to help out whatever you need. So in that case, if you tell him what I need you to do now is watch this item, so he's a shomer, he's getting paid, he clearly would have the din of a shomer sachar. On the other hand, if he's hired for a specific task, you have an accountant that's working for you, and while he's working, you ask him to watch something for you. Since this shmira is unrelated to his job description, and he's certainly not getting paid for doing that, he's getting paid for the actual accounting work, what you hired him to do, so then we really segregate these two. We look at it as he's my worker on one hand, but on the side, he happens to be doing me a favor and watching it for me. So in that case, he would have a din of a shem rechina. Now, the Ramah adds a very nice chiddush, and he says like this. He says, what happens? We'll go back to our original cases. You're going to Eretz Yisrael for a week or two. So you go, you ask your neighbor to watch some your jewelry, some valuables. Now, until now, we've discussed, he's a shem rechinam. He did it for free. He didn't ask for any payment, so he has very minimal responsibility. What's the halacha if you ask someone to watch it for you? And he says, fine, there's no discussion of payment. And then the next day, or it comes Erev Shabbos, and you send the person, you arrange to have a nice big platter of candy delivered to his house for Shabbos with a thank you note. Zok the Ramah, you become a Shomer Sacher. Although you may have agreed to do it without payment, and although there was no specific, I'm hiring you to watch, but the very fact that you've accepted something of value in exchange for your services, even though you clearly would have done it otherwise, you agreed to do it without the payment, but the very fact that you've accepted payment for services, that's enough to make you into a Shomer Sacher. So if it... If you don't want the responsibility, you have to refuse it. So it depends how much the candy is worth to you. Now, if everyone's going away on vacation, they have something they want to give to their friends to watch. It's a very good investment. A couple of dollars for a candy dish, and now suddenly, if there's any gneva aveda, he will have a din of a shomer sacher. If he tells the person that. But he can't. But if he just delivers it stam and he takes it, so then he wouldn't be able to do that. Now the Erech Lechem argues. Erech Lechem says, "What do you want from the poor guy? He's going ahead. He's out to do a favor. When he does a favor, he's not interested in becoming meshubed. He's not interested. This is not a business. He doesn't want to become a shomer sacher. The fact that you send him a gift, he doesn't think that he's accepting liability. He doesn't expect it. How can we dump this responsibility on him?" Without any notice, without any discussion. The Ramah seems to argue, and the Pshat in the Ramah, Pashtus is, and it's really a question Taisus and Ksubis deals with all the Chiyuvei Shmira. So if you learn that a Shomer Sacher becomes responsible for Gneiva Aveda because it's understood, it's implicit, when I hire you to watch it, you're agreeing to accept this kind of level of responsibility. So in this case, I think it's safe to say when the neighbor opens the door and accepts the platter of chocolate, he doesn't have in his mind, okay, I'll take the chocolate, it's worth it because now I'm chayav and neva veda, but it's good chocolate, it's kedai. So if you need if the pshat and shomrim is that it's understood that when I accept payment, I'm agreeing to be responsible for neva veda, so there Erech Lechem has a very good point that does not exist in this case, and then you should be patur. My shenkein, there are other shitas that hold. That no, the moment you are a shomer, if you're getting paid, the Torah says these are your responsibilities. So although you can't become a shomer bal karcha, you have to agree to become a shomer. Once you are a shomer and you get paid, so the two things together automatically, the Torah says these are your chiyuvim. If that's the case, even though the neighbor accepts the platter in all innocence and it doesn't doesn't understand the ramifications. Since they know they're a shomer, they know they're getting this benefit, so then boom, you don't need anything more than that, and there are more paskins, and in that case, you would have a din of a shomer sacher. Now, if you'd like to push the envelope a little bit further, how big of a candy dish do you have to send to get this level of protection? So the halacha is, to become a shomer sacher, you need very minimal payment. As long as it's worth a prutza, the shach says it does have to be worth a prutza, but as long as it's worth a prutza, we don't start making chalukim whether it is worth it or whether it isn't worth it. A prutza alone would be enough. So you can say if you're a bit cheap and you don't have to send your neighbor an entire platter, one piece of chocolate would probably be sufficient. Prutza is not worth very much these days. And if he accepts it, according to the Ramah, he would have a din of a shomer sacher. Now, besides for the fact that we have this Ramah that you don't have to explicitly discuss it, what's also clear is there's a discussion in the Gemara whether a Shemer Aveda, if you find a lost object, there's a machlokes whether you become a Shemer Sachar. Now, clearly, no one is paying you to watch the lost object. However, as the Gemara explains, if you're watching a lost object, you're being Isaac B'mitzvah. If an ani, if a person comes around and asks for tzedakah while you're busy with the item, you do not have to give him. Since you are saving the money that you would otherwise have an obligation to give to tzedakah, that is called a hana, again, according to Machlokes, but that may be a hana, and that may be enough to make you into a Shemer Sachar. Now, what you see very clearly is that you do not need direct payment for your services. As long as you are receiving a benefit, even though the benefit is not coming from the owner of the Aveda is not paying you. The Torah says, if you're Isaac B'mitzvah, you're Potter, but the bottom line is, as a result of this Shmira, you are now having this benefit and you're saving money. That is enough to become a Shemer Sachar. So clearly you see, you don't need a direct link, you don't need that the person saying, I'm directly paying you, the fact that you are benefiting is enough to rise to the level of a Shemer Sachar. Now there is an interesting machlokes we've discussed a number of times, that if a person provides a service for someone, stam, there's no discussion beforehand. So after he provides the service, he can turn around and hand the person a bill. I provide the service, I want to get paid. Even though there was no discussion, you didn't tell the person in advance, but b'derech klal, you do not have the right to assume it's being done as a favor. You do not have the right to assume that it's being done for free. If they provide a service, he has the right to send you a bill afterwards. The example that's discussed, which is whether it applies today or not, is questionable, but a person ate in his shver's house for a while. So after a year or two, his shver presents them with a bill. And says, listen, you ate in my house. This food costs a lot of money, and I want to get paid. So over there, the assumption is, unless they specifically speak out that it's for free, you have the right to send the bill. Imkain, anytime you watch an item, l'chayre, every shomer chinam, unless you specifically said, I'm going to do it for free, l'chayre should become a shomer sachar. Because if you provide a service, you have the right to bill afterwards. If you have the right to bill, then you should become a shomer sachar. So over here, the Erech Shai says that that's not the case. He says, because it's normal for neighbors to watch things, it is not typical for you to send your neighbor a bill when it comes back from Eretz Yisrael. So in such a case, this other halacha does not apply. And if you take it stam, if after it comes back you want to tell him, I'm not giving it, returning it unless you pay me, he has the right to say no. You didn't say anything. I have the right to assume the stoma is you're doing it for free. So who I did in the Indian the chiyuv shomer chinam or shomer sachar, because you don't have the right to charge, in that case you would remain with the din of a shomer chinam. It's only when you're doing something where you do have the right to charge or where the expectation is to charge, there already the halacha would be is you'd have a din of a shomer sachar. So what we're coming out with is many cases of shmira, unless you're dealing with a neighbor where the norm is not to charge, but many other cases where you give things to someone to watch, there usually is some benefit the person's having. He's working out the item, he's fixing it, he's doing something, and in these cases you'd have a din of a shomer sachar. What?
That is
enough. Well, the hano, the fact that he has a job is enough. Now that typically is considered a toivas hana, although he will make money, but the money that he's earning is not for the work, and the money that you're paying him is for the job, not for the actual shmira. So when we get to Shin Vav, we'll discuss what that reason is, but it would seem from here that toivas hana would be enough. On the other hand, you do see it has to be worth a pruta. So in Shin Vav, we'll have to discuss this far. Now going back to our other case, the most intuitive case of a Shemer Sachar, you hire a guard, a security guard, to watch your store, to watch your business. That case, it is very likely he does not have a din of a Shemer Sachar. Why? So as we discussed in Hilchos Shemer Chinam, how does a person become a Shemer? What makes him into a Shemer? The fact that he says he is a Shemer is deeper alone enough? So we saw it was Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim said you have to actually make a kinyan. The Shomer has to actually take the item into his possession. At that point, he becomes a Shomer. But if he doesn't pick the item up, he doesn't make a ma'isa kinyan, that may not be enough. Other Rishonim argued and said that no. As long as you have siluk shmira, as long as the owner based on the fact that you said you would watch it, the owner walks away. He left it in your care. He relied on you. There's a siluk shmira. So according to some rishonim, that would be enough, and you would have it, and you would have a din of a shema right away. When you hire a security guard, does he come around every night before he starts his patrol and start doing a hagbah on everything in your store? No. There's no kinyan. If there's no kinyan, l'chayro, according to these rishonim, it should be telling this machlokes. If you need a siluk shmira, so the moment you leave your store and you leave it in the hands of the security guard, that would be enough to make him do a shomer on everything in the store. Ma'aseh ein kein, according to the other rishonim, that you actually need a ma'aseh kinyan. So in that case, l'chayro, you would not have the din of a shomer sachar. You may be able to create a minhag, or you may be able to start arguing that it's a daita d'hachi, but hilchus, the parasha of shmira, shomer would not apply. That being said, there are a number of achronim that say that a shomer sachar will be different. Because although it's true you need a kinyan to become a shomer, paying a worker itself could be a kinyan. Although it's not a kinyan on the goof, normally the kinyan we're talking about, you're picking up the actual item. But the fact that you're paying the person, the fact that you're, and Divin Melkil adds even further, the fact that you're chayiv to pay him, once he starts his job, once you're in a schayiv bahi hana, the fact that you owe him money in exchange for that, he is nischayiv in the dini shmira, and therefore, according to many achroinim, even if he doesn't do an actual kinyan, the very fact that you're, certainly if you're paying him in advance, and the Akil says even if you don't pay him, the fact that you owe it to him, that itself will be enough to create an obligation, even though there was no formal kinyan. No, no gadol paritz is very specific. You're doing a physical act in the item, and you're making a chazaka. The fact that you're circling around with a gun is not a kinyan in the actual gufadav, and therefore you would need, according to these, it's a machlokes rishonim. But l'maisa shemachinim, you can certainly say kimli. In the absence of a kinyan, you're not responsible. So the question would be, if you're getting paid, that if you advance the money, according to many achronim, you'd be chayiv. Divin Akil says even that actual obligation itself is enough. Now, once we've passed this hurdle, once your person actually becomes a shomer sachar, he paid, he made a kinyan. What are the actual obligations of a shomer sachar? So as everybody knows, a shomer chinam is only responsible for pshia. A shomer sachar is responsible for geneva v'aveda. If it gets lost or it gets stolen, the shomer sachar is responsible to pay. What does that mean? How do we define gneiva va'aveda, and how do we translate it into a typical case? So we find two basic chumras, or two areas where shomer sachar has greater responsibility than a shomer chinam. The first is the gemara that we saw this morning, the concept of netirusa yisera. A person was watching animals. He was transporting it from one place to another, and he had to pass by a river. One animal pushed the other, fell, and it died. So the Gemara brings a machlokes. The first man the Gemara held, you're potter. What's a shomer supposed to do? You have two animals. You're watching a whole flock. One pushes the other. What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to prevent that from happening? V'alocha, we hold like the other man the Gemara. That says you have to pay. Why? So the Gemara says you should have walked them single file. And the Gemara adds that the reason the owner can tell the shomer, the reason why I paid you is to do netirusa yaseir. Now what's very clear in the Gemara is that people when a person would transport his animals, they didn't walk single file. The norm was you just went brought them all together there, and there were animals next to each other. Now, when you transport them in the normal way, this risk always exists. If an animal gets into a bad mood, pushes the other one, it's going to knock it off. Nevertheless, a shomer sachar, who's getting paid to watch it, has to do netirusa yaseira. He has to provide an extraordinary level of shmir, and he has to do even more than a person typically does with his own. He's getting paid to watch it. When you get paid, you have to provide service. Now, that being said, we know there's a concept of a tanai. What would be if you hire someone to watch a night? You're a shepherd. A fellow comes to you and says, "I'll pay you to watch my flock." You tell him, "Okay, these are my rates, but you should know that when I have to bring the sheep, I'm a busy man, I'm watching a lot, I have entire herds that I have to take care of, I don't have time to do it everything single file, I'm going to transport them the normal way. The owner says, fine. What would be then if he transports it the normal way and one of them pushes the other? So clearly he'd be potter. Because in that case, he's agreed that he will that all he's going to do, he limited his responsibility. All he has to do is transport it. Normally, he's going to be potter. Afal pikein. In a typical case, when you give it to a shomer, even though the norm, if you look around how people transport it, they don't do it single file. But there's an expectation. You give it to a shomer sachar, you expect more from him. What that means is, and many there are a number of tshuvas that discuss the matter, if you have a situation where there is a clear minhag that even the people who are paid to watch don't do this extra shmir, even the shepherds that are getting paid to watch don't bother single file. So in that case, if that's the minhag, if that's the norm, you can argue, the owner can say, you should have done this extra shmira. He knew good and well, people don't do this extra level of shmira, and therefore you're going to be potter. It's only in the Gemara's case where there's no minhog for shomrim, where normal people may not go single file, but there is an expectation that you pay a worker, he's going to provide an extra level of service. There, you're going to be responsible. Correct. Shia and oynis. When you go through the sugya, we're not really going to address this in the shia, but throughout the sugya of shomrim. Sometimes there'll be a case where they'll say it's a pshia, you have to pay. There'll be other cases where they'll say you're an oinis and you're potter. What you'll see is pshia and oinis are very often relative. If you have a responsibility to guard or to behave in a certain way or provide a certain level of shmir and you don't do that, that could be called a pshia, even though it's not typically for a shmir chinam, it may not be negligence. And the same way, if you don't have to guard against something, it's sometimes called an oinus. So you have to look very carefully at the different cases. The word pshi and the word oinus in Hilchos Shomrim do not always mean the same thing. And they're very often not familiar to halacha because the concept of tchilas of pshi of a sefer ba'oinus, we said, only applies to a real pshia, not kneva v'aveda. So you have to be careful with the terminology. Now, the Grismayisha has a tshuva where he discusses a case where there was a shaychit, he was taking out a chicken or an animal, and he opened it up and another one escaped. And he really brings out this point. When you're opening the door, he says it's clear there's a risk. There's a possibility you open the door, if you're not very careful, more than one animal will escape. But if the norm is that usually doesn't happen, and people usually don't worry about it, so he says a shomer chinam that does it is going to be off the hook. Because that's cool. That's not called negligence. If this is how people normally operate and you do it, the fact that you know, if you ask someone, could this happen, they'll say yes. But that's not called negligence. A shomer chinam will be potter. A shomer sachar, he says, is going to have to pay. Because since he's getting paid for his shmira, even though it's normal for people to do this, since it clearly is a risk, it's understood to be a risk, it's just a risk that people take because it's not worth their time or effort to go ahead and to just guard against everything, for a shomer sachar, you're going to have to pay. So that, you'd really have a separate issue because you're really coming after him not so much as a shomer, but as a mazik. He didn't lose the button, he knocked it off. So it should be a mazik, and the rule is Adam Mur L'Olam. However, and we discussed this in Hilchos in Adam HaMazik, when you ask someone or his mandate is to go ahead and work on the item, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and hezek happens through that, there he may not have a din of a mazik. Because he's supposed to be doing it. This is what you asked him to do. Then already, we may have to knock him down to the din of shomrim. It may depend on shomer chinam, whether he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, which he would typically be a shomer sachar. But we'd have to look at whether that's an oinus or not. If there's nothing he could have done, this is normal care, this shirt is old and the button just popped off, that would be an oinus. On the other hand, if it's something that he could have guarded against, because he's getting paid, he has a din of shomer sachar, he will generally be liable. So anyway, so going back to our discussion here, so a shomer sachar, once you're getting paid, even though you're doing something which normal people take this risk, but if it's understood there is a risk, you're being paid to do netirusa yaseira, once you're getting paid, you have to provide an extra level of service, and therefore you're going to be responsible, it will not have a din of an oinus. Now that being said, there's a Marashach and a number of it's a machlekes in the Achrayna whether we pass them like this or not. Marashach says a tremendous chiddush. He says, in such a case, why do you have to pay? You have to pay. You're responsible because since you're being compensated to do the shmirah, you're being compensated. The expectation is you're going to provide an extra higher level of service. What about cases where you're a shomer sachar? But you're a shomer sachar not because you're getting paid to watch it. You're a shomer sachar because there's some side benefit. You're a shomer aveda. No one's paying you to watch it. But since you're watching the aveda, now a poor person comes, you don't have to give tzedakah, you're considered a shomer sachar. Or another case, a soicher. You rent something. When you rent a car, they're not paying you to watch it. But you do have a benefit. You're using the item. Therefore, you have a din of a shomer sachar. Zok v'marshach, v'sam soifer, and others. In such cases, this rule of netirusu yiseira does not apply. When you're getting paid to watch it, even if you're getting paid a minimal amount, you're getting paid to watch, you have to provide a higher level. When you're not getting paid to watch, you're just a shomer sachar because of some outside reason, you're a soicher, you're renting the item, your smoshes case, you're getting paid to shecht it, and because you're getting paid to shecht it, you have a benefit and you become a shomer sachar. So when you're not explicitly getting paid to watch the item, Zokter Marashach, this rule does not apply. And here, you only have to provide the basic level of shmir. And the Gersmaish, it's a bit tzarchian. In this tshuva, he says this svara. He says perhaps a sheikhet that opens it up and a few animals escape should be patur because he's not getting paid specifically to watch it and therefore it should have a din of an oinus, he should be patur. Then the Gersmaish says it's a nice svara, but he hasn't found the svara in any achrayim and therefore tzarchian to be meko just with on your own svara. It's a mashach, it's a chsam sofer, it's, other akhwaitim say it as well. So, apipashtus, a person would be able to say kimli, he would be pater. So this idea of netirusu yaseira is only when the person is explicitly getting paid to provide the shmir. So this is the first halacha, that a shomer sachar has to provide a higher level of service. If there is a risk involved, even though it's a risk that people typically take with their own item, but if you're getting paid to watch the item, you cannot take that risk, and if anything happens, you're going to be liable. The second chumrah of a shomer sachar is the din of gneiva v'aveda. If an item is stolen or it's lost, you are responsible to pay. Now, if you have an item, your door is locked, and someone breaks in and steals it, that's clearly not a pshia. A shomer chinam certainly would be putter in such a case. A shomer sachar, because he's getting paid, has this greater responsibility, and he is chayev for gneiva v'aveda. Aveda, where it gets lost, is considered karev l'pshia. It is close to negligence. It's not actual negligence, but bottom line is, it got lost. It means you weren't as careful with it as you should have been. And it's karev l'pshia. Gneiva, when it gets stolen, that is karev l'oinus. There's no negligence involved. Someone broke into your house. That's not negligent. And in fact, it's close to an oinus. It's not very easy to guard something against ganavim. However, it is not considered an oinus gomer. You could have been more careful. You could have had a better safe. You could have been there. And therefore, a shomer sachar is going to be responsible. If there's an oinus, if it was something which is beyond his control, a shomer sachar is off the hook. If there is a holdup, a bunch of armed bandits come. So they steal the item. But that does not have a din of gneva. That has a din of an oinus. That has a din of a nishba. It's a shvuya. And there, even though they're stealing it, but since they're armed, that's considered an oinus, and there they're going to be pater. Now there's a basic question, how to define gneva v'aved. What do we mean when the Torah says you have to pay, shomer sachar pays gneva v'aved? Is the halacha that if it gets stolen or lost, you have to pay? So no matter what, if it gets stolen, short of an armed robber that have that's a shvuya, if it gets stolen, you have to pay. Or perhaps no. Gneiva v'aveda is a level of responsibility. Shomer chinam is only responsible for negligence. A shoyel is chayiv no matter what, even an oinus gomer, even if it's completely out of your control. Gneiva v'aveda is somewhere in between. It's karev l'pshiyah, it's karev l'oinus. This level of responsibility you have. The nafkamina is, what happens if you guard it? You do everything you can to guard it. You bury it 100 feet under the ground. And a god of comes, he tunnels underneath, and he steals it. So that's an oinus gomer. There's nothing you could have done to stop it. But it's Geneva. It was stolen. Another example. Let's say you have a person, he's a Shomer. He does everything he's supposed to be doing. He's sitting there on the by the item, he has weapons, he does everything he can do to guard it. He gets sick. He gets a seizure, he goes Meshuggah for a few minutes. He gets a seizure, he's not capable of watching it anymore. Someone comes and steals it. Now he's clearly an oinus. There's nothing he could have done. It wasn't his fault that he got sick. But l'maaseh, the item got stolen. So is he responsible to pay in these cases or not? So over here we find a three-way machlokes in Rishayim. Some Rishayim say, Taisus brings down, that the Torah says you have to pay for Gneva. That means the Torah is saying that if it gets stolen, you have to pay. So we don't care what the story is. It could be the biggest oinus in the world. The person could get sick, he can go Meshuggah. The person, you can bury it 100 feet under the ground. Bottom line is, if it gets Gneva, if it has a shame Gneva, you have to pay. Armed robbers don't have a shame Gneva. That is the din of a shvuya, that is the din of a cat, it's being captured. But short of armed robbers, if it's stolen, no matter what the oinus is, you have to pay. That is one shita. The other extreme, we have the shita of the Marshal, which the Shach passes, it says no. Gneva Ved just means you're responsible one level above a shamir chinam. You have to do a shmira ma'ula. Shamir chinam just can't be negligence. You have to watch it in a way where, under normal circumstances, it's guarded. But if it's an oinus, it's something that you couldn't guard against, it's 100 feet under the ground, they dig a tunnel. If the person gets sick, it's an oinus. My havalei lemevet. Zok the shach in such a, and the marshal in such a case, he holds you'll be patur lagamri. And then we have a middle shita that says that normally on an oinus you're patur. Gneva veda is only responsible, is only you're only chayev by a typical gneva veda where you did a shmira p'chusa. If you did a good shmira, you're going to be. Sorry, the other way around. The gneva veda even ba'inis is normally going to be chayiv. If you bury it 100 feet under the ground, but it gets stolen, has a shame gneva, you're going to be chayiv. However, in the other example that we gave, if the person gets sick, he goes meshuggah, he's not able to watch it. He has an oinus haguf. There, the Ramban says you're going to be patur, because the moment you have an oinus haguf, you're no longer a shomer. You accept the responsibility going to watch it. If while you're supposed to be watching it gets stolen, whether it's b'shia, whether it's b'gneva aveda, whether it's stolen in a way that's considered an oinus, you're always liable. But if something happens that you're now no longer able to watch it, now you do not have a din of a shomer, and in that kind of oinus, you're going to be patur. No. Well, if a person goes meshuggah, he's not in a position where he can inform people. So the case is, if he's able to inform the person, then that would be a pshia. But in a case where he's not able to do it, so we have three shitas. Either gneva is always chayiv. If it's called gneva, you have to pay. The other extreme is the marshal. It says that no, you're only responsible if you do a minimal shmira, a shmira p'chusa. But if you do a shmira m'ula, any oinus is going to be patur. And we have this middle level that it depends on the type of oinus. That if it's an oinus haguf, where the person is not capable of watching it, then he is going to be patur. If it's oinus in the item itself, where he has a din of a shomer, then he's going to be chayiv. Now let me just finish up. Now there is a fascinating case. The Ramah talks about a case where there was a shomer, and a fire broke out in the city. There's a huge fire. So what does he do? He runs away. Comes back. The item is obviously gone. Zakir Rav Mo, you have to pay. Why? Because it seems that back then when there were fires, so all the people who lived in the city, who owned things, they ran for their lives. And at the same time, while they were running out, you had a bunch of bandits or a bunch of people who would come to loot. Because when there's a fire burning in the city, everyone's afraid. Everyone's running away. There's pandemonium. The police are not sitting there. So it's very common for a ganovin to come in and steal things. Zok the Rambam. If the thing gets burnt and you see the charred room, you can recover the charred remains, you can prove that it got burnt, that's an oinus. You're patur. But if you can't, if the whole city is burned, your house is burned down, and you can't determine what's in the house and what isn't, and it's very likely there are ganovin that are circling the city, they're ransacking whatever they can find, perhaps it was stolen. If it's stolen, you have to pay. So even though, had it not been stolen, it would have been burnt. Since, bottom line, if we want to know what happened to this item, the answer is it was stolen. It's Gneva Aveda. Gneva Shomer Sachar is Chayiv, and he has to pay.
What?
Oh, good. So the Nesiva says it has to be something that could have been, that could potentially have been rescued. If it could not, if it was impossible to be rescued, then it would have a din of zutu mimeno mikol adam and a chanami. But the case over here is got so now what happens? So zok the Nesivas, that this halacha really depends on the sheets we just went through. Because if you hold geneva, what if it gets stolen, is chayiv on any oinus? So here, if the ganavim came and stole it, the person had an oinus. There's a fire; he ran away to save his life. So clearly, it's an oinus. Afal pike, according to the first sheet that we mentioned, since it got stolen, geneva aved is always chayiv. So that's why the Ramah passes, you have to pay, because even oinus you have to pay. By she'enken, according to the other sheets that hold that when there's an oinus gamur, then you're potter. Or according to even the middle shita, when there's an oinus haguf, if you have to run because to save your life you have to get out of here, that is like an oinus haguf. So according to the other two shitas, it end up that you'd be potter. So this is another case that will depend on this understanding when you're responsible for gneva aveda. There are some other nafkaminas that in Mirat Hashem we'll get to next week. So now, if anyone had any questions. No. If he's supposed to be guarding and now he's able to watch it, he'll have to watch it.
It would seem from this last case of the fire that even though you have a legitimate reason to run, if it's theoretically possible, since you have a job to do, you have to put that before what the normal thing would be to do.
By Shemir Sacha, correct. And we'll get to next week some of the other cases. I mean, one of the other cases is what happens if fire burns out? You have your thing to save, and you have the thing that you're a shomer on. The Ramah says that you're chayiv. Now, the Shach suggests even a shomer chinam. He says tzar chiyun. The Nesivos and the Tzayis say that the shomer chinam is going to be possible, but shomer sachar is going to be responsible. Even though clearly it's an oinus moment, you have to save your own. Your own may have been more valuable, but when you accept to watch something, you're accepting a high level of responsibility. And even though you're an oinus, you still have to pay according to the Shittas.
That
depends. If it gets stolen, that depends on this machlokes. If you hold, Torah says geneva avedes chayiv, that means no matter what, if it gets stolen, you're liable. That even though the person is laid up in the hospital, he's in a coma, but when it gets stolen, he's going to be chayiv. Masha enkein, according to the other shitas, geneva avedes just means a normal case of geneva, you guarded it somewhat and it got stolen. But if there's an oinus aguf, which is in this case, there's an oinus aguf, so according to these shitas, you'd be potter. It would depend on this machlokes. The Shach Lamaisa says that you're going to be potter. It's a major machlokes in the Echroinim, whether you could say Kimli, whether you can't say Kimli, a bezin will have to deal with that. But it will depend on this machlokes Rishayna. Correct. Any tnai, it's davish moment, any tnai will help. If you say very specifically, I'm willing to watch it, but these are the terms, you certainly could do that. You may not. Your neighbors may not like you very much, but it certainly would help. There is a discussion. We'll talk about that next week. What happens if there's a minhag? What happens if it's the norm is people don't expect this kind of responsibility? But that there's an Erech Shai that discusses it. We'll deal with that next week. Okay, so we'll actually discuss that when we get to.